strange what desire will make foolish people do.
Hello and welcome to the Lost Girls podcast. Let's go around and meet our cast and crew for today. Susie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Hi, I'm Susie. I'm playing Jess, the wild child 80s punk rock vampire.
And diving straight round from you, Kiana, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I play Alice, who is a resident techno vamp, recent sire, and is trying to figure out life as a vampire with technology.
And Lindy, how are you today?
I am doing super spiffy. I'm going to be playing Ixis, the sweet cinnamon roll vampire of goodness and television watching from the future.
And Emma, how are you today?
Hi, Charlie. I'm good. I'm Emma. I'm going to be playing May. She's the vampire communist who thinks that the humans have done enough with the world and now it's vampires' turn to have a try. And she's not evil. She's just principled.
I imagine you are going to get that printed on a bumper sticker someday soon.
T-shirt. Big hat. Just very principled.
And welcome to Michael joining us today.
Hi. Excited to be here. Shiny Pilot playing William. Excited to see how he goes down his path in life here, especially having been a newly turned vampire. Thank you, Alice.
So if you are listening for the first time or joining us after watching the stream over on WebDM, welcome. Get comfortable. You're in for a wild and bumpy ride as we catch up with the coven fleeing New Vampsterdam. Deadfield, for those of you not in the know. Jess, you ride on your bike. All of the lights seem to turn green as you approach them. And it's just as well because behind you, the sirens are flaring. And there's the roar of the engine of Ephemera's heavy armored van. Driven by May, Ixis sits in the passenger seat and clinging on for dear life, William, the newly turned vampire. Alice is nowhere to be seen. The sky is cast dark by smoke and glows with the fire. The city is burning. And everyone is on the run. Jess, what is going through your mind as you flee Deadfield?
I think for one of the first times in her life, it's sheer panic. She's been pretty confident in her strength and survivability since turning, but upon recent revelations about her sire, her father, how much he knows about the supernatural in New Vampsterdam and Deadfield, she's thinking about a lot and seeing these sirens, feeling like they're chasing her out of the city. She's in panic mode.
And you're leaving a lot behind. You'd been there, Mr. Fine and the Spider's Lair, watching as the men in black tore down the stairs, the empty space that had been occupied by so many supernaturals. You'd seen your mother standing, watching you out the window. She'd been told you were dead. And May, she told you how you'd died. You'd come back to the city to find them. Come back to your family to try and make sense of this all, to warn them, to help them. And you ride on your own, on your bike, out into the night leading the way. You're used to being the chaser. You've chased many people through the city in the last few weeks. But now, you are on your way out. Leading. Busy in your thoughts. And then there's Beau. You'd snuck back to his house to find him, to talk to him. He and his brother had not been there. You'd found something else, up in his parents' bathroom, hidden, behind countless Xanax and other pill bottles, you found a manila envelope filled with photos. Photos of your friends, of Alice. It isn't Alice's name that's on the back, but you know it's her. And in the car, May, Ixis, your ears still ring with the echoes of that explosion that had ripped through the building. You'd worked hard to track down its location, the FBI offices where your friends, they had to be there, there was nowhere else for them to be. As you'd laid your hand on that door to pull it open, boom, shrapnel. Your quick reactions had saved you, dragged you out of the worst of it, but still that sound, this distant percussion over and over. Your hearts don't beat, but there's that throb in your head, that sound. What had you done in the panic? What had you thought? Ixis.
Ixis would have definitely panicked and kept a firm grip on the do not eat list, which she had brought with her to use as a checklist to make sure all their friends were safe. Seeing the building explode, maybe they weren't in there? Hopefully they weren't in there, but I don't think we'll get to find out because we got a boogie. She would have just been focused on making sure May was all right and getting out. And she knew her employer, Edmund, was, while shot with a bullet, was okay. He was fine. Not in the building that just exploded. So her priorities are pretty clear. Up until they actually are leaving town.
May.
I think May's reaction to the FBI building blowing up is unfettered rage and also disappointment because she's often imagined government buildings exploding, but not usually in such an unexpected way. And so she is concerned. She is concerned that there's something that's happened that's so public. And that our friends might be jeopardized. And she is ready to turn her frustration at this turn of events into action once things have cooled down. So she's looking forward to trying to figure out who did this, but at a healthy distance.
And William, you've been lost in that great server room with all of the technology. You traveled through wires and electricity with Alice, your new sire. And she'd left you. She'd left you because she believed she could fix it, she could stop it. Up on the wall, the countdown timer had ticked away. You had no choice. There was nothing more you could do but flee. And you'd heard it. That explosion. And as you stumbled from the server room, finding your way through a labyrinth of doors until you found the outside, the world rumbled and shook. And there was another explosion behind you. Stumbling through the world, everything has a strange red blur to it. You remember this feeling. You'd felt it earlier in your home. What do you think about home, William?
William would be thinking about the pain and hunger that he felt being a newly turned vampire at the house and what he did to his parents. That's the immediate sensation he gets of home. And that would be a constant reminder of what he has kind of become, what he's been turned into, and kind of a bleak outlook as to what maybe his future's all about, because he doesn't quite understand what's next. What do I do from here? And the person that turned me and was my guide, now she's gone? Maybe? I don't know. I mean, if she could go through wires, I've never even thought that was possible. Maybe she survived. I don't know. I think he'd be a little lost, a little very confused, and scared.
Lost and stumbling is how Mayanix has found you. And you've been loaded into a dark vehicle. You've been in here before. This is the second time today two women have picked you up in this vehicle, told you to get in. There was somewhere you had to go. And this is the convoy that leaves Deadfield, across the bridge, out into the wooded suburbs, beyond into the pines. The night grows darker. Alice, you did it. You know you did it. You blocked that signal. But there were others. There were explosions. Journeying through the wires, you can't go back to where you were. Pushing forwards, down the connections, you find another block. Circling back, another route. You see through CCTV a room in which sits Ephemera. She is staring. Eyes locked with a man in black. And you watch as shadows creep from the corners of the room and touch her skin. You watch as she shrivels before your eyes, shivering, desiccating. You watch as your oldest friend, in the most literal of senses, turns to dust. You listen to the radio. You listen to the pulses, to the frequencies, to the dialing up and dialing down, to the changing of song, commercial. It's Mrs. Suds that calls to you. She promises a clean, fresh start, the washing away of old stains. May, Jess is driving fast. You can drive fast too. You crank down on the acceleration, and the radio crackles into life. Alice, where do you want to go?
I want to go to where my friends are.
The radio begins to play a jingle. Ixis, one you are very familiar with, one that is often stuck in your head. But this is an updated version. Mrs. Suds has a new scent. You think about them all. That promotional display had been a good new scent. What do you think about when you think about your home in Deadfield, Ixis?
How wonderful it was! Because she made so many good friends and got to experience so many new and fascinating things like television and Mrs. Sud's vanilla scent. And just, she was going to get to try this thing called Dungeons and Dragons, where she was going to play a Skeletor, but that hadn't happened yet, and she's very upset about it. But just mostly all good memories. The pet shop, her cat Velvet, her very first and only pet. So basically just missing it already.
And May, what do you think as you hear the commercial playing?
I think of the first time I heard that new scent when I was in the mall with Alice. I think that's when it was, right?
We went to go get outfits for our dates together. And I think May probably thinks about how it's an unnecessary scent, but it's nice. And she was going to get some because she thought it would make Ixis happy. And that she misses Alice. Wishes she knew where she was.
Alice, I'd like you to make a roll for me. As you listen to the power of Mrs. Suds and all that she promises, and long to find your friends. Anything to do with technology would probably help you here.
Good. Yeah, I certainly have a, I'm trained in that area of knowledge. And even arguably also trained in the one very specific area of scientific knowledge there, so two steps down.
So your target is going to be a 12 to find your friends.
That is a 13.
Okay. It's a strange trip. You first have to figure out where you think they'd go. You go home. The only thing turned on in the home is the fridge and the telephone. You make the phone ring for a moment, and a voice answers. Hello? This is not a voice that you know.
Yep, nope, she hangs that up and goes away. Moving on.
The line cuts dead, and you move on. You go to the parking lot across the street. You make the barrier shift up and down. You go to the simple system they use to monitor cars in and out. And you discover Ephemera's vehicle is not here. You remember that you'd had that car with you. That is how you'd been traveling. And so you go back along the lighting rig of the city, from street lamp to street lamp, searching for the dark car. And then you catch it. The buzz. The buzz of a headlight. It's not part of your grid, though. How to jump. A red sports car passes, and you catch the radio again. How to transform from electric to radio. How do you do it, Alice? How do you make it from electric to radio?
I know from years of studies that, well, they're all just different energy wavelengths. Just have to shift. So she's going to go from almost molecular level and shift her energy to match, not a light wavelength, but that of a radio.
And so you shift. In the old days, vampires could shift form from man to bat, from bat to mist. But you are in a new age. These things have always existed, but people have been ignorant to them. You have knowledge, and knowledge is power. And you crackle into the radio, hop a few vehicles till you find the one that you wanted. Listening to Mrs. Sudd's commercial, you hear Alice's voice.
Hey guys! Is this... I think I'm... Okay. I think.
Alice?
Yep, it's me.
Are you stuck in the radio? Do I need to pull it out? Are you okay?
No, don't do that, Ixis.
How did you get in there?
If I can. And she's gonna try to shift from radio to.
Do you work for Mrs. Suds now?
Well, William would be sitting in the back, and if he heard that pipe through, he'd kind of have a sparkle in his eye and a flash, and he kind of looked towards the front and go, wait, what, Was that Alice? Alice?
Yes. She works for Mrs. Suds.
Who?
I don't think she works for Mrs. Suds.
Well, then why is she on the Mrs. Suds commercial?
The cleaner?
Yes, it's the best.
I
honestly couldn't think of a better job you could have.
You could have a lot of better jobs, Alice. But Alice,
I'm learning more every day about you guys, and it's getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah, it's for us too. It's been a weird couple weeks.
Been most extraordinary.
Well, she wasn't. She was at the explosion, though.
What?
William will just kind of be. Have a blank, confused look on his face, go, well, wait a minute, maybe she's in the radio? Like, physically in it? The thought will go through his brain, so he's just gonna kind of be quiet, lest they think he's already more crazy and weird than he is. And he'll just kind of sit back in the seat and just start kind of pondering, like, maybe she's got in it somehow, maybe she's okay.
Alice, I would like you to make a second roll as you attempt to shift form a second time tonight.
Okay.
This is going to cost you 2 blood points to attempt.
Okay, that's valid. that's an 11.
Okay. You push your way out of the radio. Radio waves can move through air very easily. You push your way past May, past Ixis. You need space. And you sit opposite William and focus. William, it's like a TV with bad static. She phases in and out in front of you. And there's that crunching noise, that white, harsh interference in the radio in the front.
Is everybody hearing that around, or just William picking up with that?
Everyone can hear the sound, but only you have a line of sight at the moment on Alice as she attempts to reform.
He'll kind of, if he starts to see an outline appear with that static, you know, he's going to be kind of, you know, holding his ear a bit and a little bit of the pain and the annoyance of the static, but then he'll see the outline forming and he'll kind of hold his breath, not sure what to do, just waiting and seeing what happens.
Alice, you are concentrating. You are thinking through the science. This shift requires more energy, more power. Energy into matter. That is what you are attempting. The car's headlights flicker. The engine makes a harsh, stuttering sound. As all of the technology that makes this vehicle run begins to slowly fail, and the car coasts when the engine cuts out. Jess, you're in your own world, your own buzzing, humming world, as the engine between your legs pushes you further and faster into the evening. The road in front of you winds. It's just a highway. It's a place between places. It's a route to somewhere. But where are you going, Jess?
I don't think Jess really knows. She's just going to keep following this highway, just get away from Deadfield as far as she can go. I mean, she would keep an eye on in her mirrors to see if, you know, they're still following her behind, but she's just blasting down the highway.
Why don't you make a roll for me, a perception roll? So, anything that would help can make that easier.
That's a 9.
On a 9, it takes you a while to spot that the vehicle behind you is losing, or rather, the gap between you and the vehicle behind you is widening, broadening. You are slowly leaving them behind. But as you hit a turnoff, you notice it. They are barely in your vision. Where you are, it looks up the hill, and you can see in the far distance behind them still that red and blue flash of sirened cars. You have a choice. You can easily leave from here. But your friends, it seems, are in trouble.
Jess is gonna look down into her jacket in which Velvet is tucked, her little head is sticking out, and she's gonna say, "Hold on, Velvet." And she's gonna slam on her brakes and do the really cool Akira slide with one foot on the ground, and then just tear us back to them.
And you do. You tear through the night like a bat out of hell. And you find them pulled off on the side of the road, the entire vehicle dead. And you can hear them, the sirens. They are catching up to you. What do you do?
I hop off my bike and run over to the car. What are you doing? We have to get out of here. You just pulled over to piss or something?
No, the car just stopped working. It's inherently flawed as a vehicle.
Do you mean it stopped working?
It was working and then it stopped. She works for Mrs. Suds now.
There was an outline back here. Kind of looked like her, but nothing came through.
You didn't say anything?
I didn't know what to do. I mean,
we'll say something next time.
Okay, but I didn't know what's going on, alright? I've been through a whole lot of stuff.
Maybe the radio wasn't tuned just right, or maybe we needed to crank up the volume, I don't know.
Yeah, Alice, are you still here?
Yeah, speak May to us, Alice.
Alice,
you are caught, and you have a choice. You can continue trying to manifest, or you can go back to the radio. What would you like to do?
Do I think that the car is already dead no matter what I do?
The car is a thing of mechanisms. Most of the mechanisms have been undestroyed, just disrupted by a lack of power. But you're pretty sure you've drained the battery, which is fairly essential in the running of this vehicle. If you could get it going again, the battery would charge as the motor worked, but you'd have to get it going again. No one at me about vehicle and mechanical knowledge, okay?
Just sitting here, just like, la la la.
Okay. I think that if she thinks that there's a chance that if she goes back to the radio and uses whatever energy she was gathering back into the battery, and would get the car starting again, she would do that.
Okay. You don't need to make a roll to do that. You can go back fairly easily. And you do back into the radio, and you push out some of your energy back into the car, down through the wires. The headlights turn on. The radio sounds.
It's working again.
Hi, sorry. Yep, that was me. Sorry.
Holy shit.
Alice, can you hear us?
Yep, I tried to get back out. I didn't realize that I would have to take energy from the car to do that. So I think I'm just gonna stick it here so that we can get going.
Alice, are you in the radio right now?
In a sense, I am more on the radio wavelengths, which are being picked up by this radio. So in a sense, yes, I'm in the radio, but also I'm kind of everywhere outside right now.
Are you safe?
How much? We'll go with that. Yeah, we're good.
How much power do you think you're gonna need to get out of there?
A lot. I got
Almost. It'll be fine. We'll find some place and we can go, help, please, kind stranger. Can you jump off our battery for us? I saw this in a soap opera. And then you can just take both batteries worth of power.
That might work. Yeah.
But we should go.
Yeah, this is a problem for future us. And then Jess is going to reach into her jacket, grab Velvet, and sort of...
Velvet!
Except you left this.
I couldn't go back and save her. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, she's clawed the shit out of my boobs, so, thanks.
I'll trim them next time.
Okay. Right, are we good?
Yes. Let's get out of here.
All right. I'm just gonna, like, jog back to her bike, hop on, rev it real cool, and then...
And you do. And once more, the convoy is in motion, but the sirens have caught up to you again. May, as the driver of the car, I'm going to need you to make some sort of maneuver or strategy-based role. And Jess, as you are on your own vehicle, you will need to make one as well. As you are all going to try and duck your tail.
Okay. I don't have any powers which would particularly help with something like this. Okay. So I'm just gonna try to do it. What's the difficulty of this roll?
The difficulty is going to be a 12. So that is a level 4 difficulty. You can, of course, spend blood points to drop the difficulty level. It's 3 blood points per level. As you engage those supernatural powers to try and help you.
Mae will try to do that. She'll try to get sort of like her quick instincts going. And grips the steering wheel a little bit more tightly. Got a 10.
Okay,
so that's
that is.
Good.
14, perfect. These are mere mortals. And while your vehicles are not supernatural like you, reflexes really help. It means that you can go faster. It means that you can react quicker to shift gear, to use the brake. You spot things in the darkness much more easily with your vampire vision. And you take a dirt side road and you plow between alpine trees. They cannot follow so easily. This road is unlit, but that doesn't stop you. Pulling off of this road, you connect to a secondary road, and off and away into the night. It takes an hour, 2 hours, but eventually the sirens fade. You are relieved as you hear no sound of a police chopper. That's probably about the only thing that could find you right now. Something in the sky, watching. The problem with time slipping away is that it means the night is fading too. Soon the sun will rise. What is your plan? May, let's go to you in the car first.
All right, everybody, I've never been here before.
Neither have I.
Figured that. Exist.
I didn't want you to feel alone.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We need to find some shelter for daytime, for daylight. Has anybody seen any houses?
Well, we could do what I did this one time when I was outside. You just dig a hole, and then you bury yourself. Mm-hmm. And you count the hours until it's nighttime
next.
Yes,
that is always an option. It's... I'd like to see if we can avoid that.
It is very dirty. We didn't pack any
Mrs.
Suds.
No, I don't think we have a shovel either. William, do you know this area?
Well, this is a question for you, guide, dungeon master. Would William know this area super well? I don't think he'd get out too much from Radio Shack and being a homebody, but there's a chance he might.
I think I've always imagined that William grew up in Deadfield with his family, and as such you would know the surrounding area fairly well. Trips out camping, as May suggests, and the like. So if you would like, you can answer the question. Do you know anything about this area? And you can tell them what you know.
Okay. William would kind of look around a bit, getting stock of his bearings. It's nighttime. He's a little confused and mentally torn. And be like, I think we used to go camping near here at some point. There's a couple of those old derelict, you know, gas station auto body repair shops off the main drag. Might be some homes around here, but we're not gonna... Can we go to, like, one of the abandoned ones, guys? I don't want to go anywhere where there's people. Because reasons.
I suppose I don't need to eat tonight.
Yeah, eat. That the thing. Yeah. Look, I'm sure there's... Can we just keep driving down the road a little bit? I mean, there should be at least one or two abandoned tire change repair shops. They'll have a garage. You know, this area was kind of out of the way. Not a lot of foot traffic.
Maybe they'll have a battery if we need one.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes, and no windows.
Is that a list of player requests?
All right.
I would like one battery and no
windows. But it has a battery and no windows?
Really heavily tinted windows.
And just bags of blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Please. Just everywhere.
And Jess, your convoy has slowed as you've hit this junction, and the question hits you, where are you going to go as dawn approaches?
So Jess drops her speed on her bike, so she starts, like, catching up with them, and she's just gonna, like, sidle up to the window. So where are we going? We got a plan? We got something?
I was just gonna say that William kind of looks to you guys, still uncomfortable with talking to Jess and everybody in the group. Just kind of like, I'm just throwing out the ideas. You guys take the lead.
William thinks there are auto body repair shops that may be derelict here. Do you need to eat? Or are you all right skipping a day?
I'm good.
All right. I think we should find one of those then.
Yep. A little bit of breaking and entering. Send that to our list of crimes tonight.
Oh, wait, that's illegal?
Super, super illegal. But hey, we've killed people, no. So, you know, we've done worse. And then Jess is going to just rev again and just down the road.
And you do.
William's wincing in the back.
Lead off into the night once more. And correct to William's memory, on this road is an old auto repair. It must be something from the 50s. Its signs are all rusted, and its windows are boarded with plywood. Seems like no one has been here in years. This road forgotten when the new highway was built.
William, kind of point from the back and go, that's it. That's it right there. Maybe around the back would probably be wiser to put the car.
Without speaking, May just turns and does what he says. Not very politely.
And you pull in.
William slammed him.
The concrete is potholed and uneven, but there is space here for cars.
Well, I think this will work. This area is not used much anymore, but William's kind of looking as moving his head around the back of the car, looking at the back of the building. How are we going to get Alice out? I just keep thinking about her in this car. What if there's no batteries here? Can she live in the air long enough? Is there a time limit?
Alice! I mean, she can hear us. You can ask her directly. It's polite.
Oh. Alice? Are you there?
Hi. Yeah, Sorry. Just didn't want to talk too much in case it was going to drain more of the energy. I think I should be okay. Not the first time that I was without a body for a while.
It's true, you possessed Jess.
Yes.
William's eyes go kind of wide at this, like, what?
Either way, I just need power. That's all. And I think I can wait. I just might be really hungry when I get back.
Okay. I guess we'll hop out now then. We'll see if we can find you a battery inside, or, you know, maybe they got an old, I don't know if they'd even have a trickle charger here, but we'll look. We'll see what we can get. Keep you going here.
All right. Thanks.
This building is easy to break into. You just pull back one of those pieces of plywood and you can pop through the window. It's easy to open the doors from the inside. There's even a lever to raise up that garage door, the large one in which trucks and the like would be parked for work. The place is dirty and dusty. There's a coffee mug that says, "World's Best Dad," and a spoon anchored in it by something very old and moldy.
Ugh, it smells like something dead in here. Ugh.
There are dead things in here.
It kind of smells like your room.
Alright, so Jess is going to pop the lever to get the garage doors open, and let's get the car in here and get the bike in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take you long to set up. The main room of this garage auto repair place is actually blocked off and relatively, it seems, light sealed. It's only the garage which has the most cracks in it through which light may filter. In the back room is a small office, a dirty couch here. You suspect you won't be the first people to squat vagrant in this place. Is there anything you would like to do before the sun rises?
Ixis would like to look around the auto body shop, the garage, fill pieces of fabric and make a little harness for Velvet, because we're not at home anymore and she didn't want to lose the kitty.
Find an old, It seems like a waistcoat, part of a uniform for this place. It still has a name tag pinned into it. And this would be relatively easy for you, combined with some bright blue rope that you find to make a kind of cat harness for Velvet.
So, quick question. What the fuck happened? Why is the city on fire? What did you do?
What did we do? Seems
don't...
like...
What?
Nothing.
Seems like what, May?
I wasn't gonna say anything. There's one of us who does more explosive things than others.
William at this point's gonna start kind of stepping away from the conversation and kind of, I'm gonna turn over here and look for some extra batteries, maybe.
Okay, so, William, if you'd like to make an investigation roll, you can use any technical expertise to help you spot useful items.
Okay. Looking to see if I have anything that can help with that.
You could probably use your make gadget ability. You have something along with that.
Oh. Yeah, if you'll allow that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Roll a six. Straight six.
Okay, on a six, you find a number of items, but they are old, rusted. The contacts need cleaning. It's gonna take work and time. And it's just not ideal, and you don't know if you could bring this thing back to life, if it's gonna help at all.
William kind of just rubs his temples and looks around at it like, great. Great. And starts just kind of eyeballing the place to see if there's any possible way he could do something to get some more juice, but it's looking a little grim.
The thing that does occur to you is that this place must have had power once. It must be connected to the power grid.
William then will...
You stick your finger in an electrical socket, we can see if it's still on.
William will go to the... try and find the breaker in the building and see if any of the breakers are either on or in the off position. Test those out, see if he gets any power to the building. That doesn't work, he'd probably go around the outside to see where the hard connection is from the power grid to the building itself, trace the wires, and see where the electricity starts and stops. Maybe see if you can get something from it.
Okay, so you can spend some time doing that. I'd like you to make me another roll. Ixis is busy making a harness for Velvet. She seems the most out of place in this place with her perfect platinum blonde hair. And what are you wearing today, Ixis?
Oh, goodness. What was today? I think she's probably wearing a cute floral, like, white dress with little, like, bright pink flowers all over it, pink and purple. Maybe a denim jacket that to go with it in case it gets a bit chilly in the evening time. And some little flats. Definitely looks like she's out for a spring or summer picnic.
And May, you watch as William goes outside, his shirt still dirty from the day's activities. What are you up to? And how do you appear in this space?
May looks like she was wearing like a power suit. Like a black power suit with big shoulder pads and like a push-up bra thing. Something that sort of like shows off her curves but is still like ready for work. And only it caught the brunt of an explosion, so she kind of looks like, I've seen like 60s pulp movies where there's the posters where it's a woman and it's like all her clothes are torn off and her bra is showing. So she kind of looks like that.
Perfectly singed.
It gave her hair a bit of a trim. In a way that looks good. And she's going to try to back off that altercation with Jess as quickly as she can, and she wants to try to find a radio in here to see if there's some way to help Alice or just play some music and let the time go by quicker.
You don't find any radio, but what you do spot up in the corners is what appears to be a large tannoy system. Those great protruding cones through which sound could be emitted. Orders, communication made. And you find on the desk the button that turns it on and off along with that freestanding mic. You think this could work if you could give it power.
In the meantime, William rolled a 14 in his search for power, raw power, to the building.
Outside, you find the breaker box, the fuses. It seems like this hasn't been particularly tampered with. There are a few kind of scratches around it where someone has previously tried to open it. But in your investigations, you'd actually found the key to unlock it in that back office. And so you think with a little bit of work, you could get it all turned back on. The power company might object, but that's not your problem.
William will sit there then and unlock the box and start looking, thinking, distracting his brain from the events that transpired, trying to focus on a way to get Alice back to them, and he'll occupy his time with repairing that.
And it takes you on a walk down the road to a larger junction box. Luckily you had passed it in the car. It sits between this building and another building that you'd passed up because that building had been all windows, some kind of sales outlet for the, perhaps for the vehicles from this garage. And that is where you stand in the night. Jess. May leaves you looking around the room, searching for something. William
Jess
wanders
is,
outside and Ixis busy
now
herself.
Now that she's got, you know, we've stopped running.
What do you do?
She's got time to think. So now she's starting to get a bit agitated, because everything that's happened is just starting to sink in. So she's kind of prowling like a caged animal. She's just walking around, and like there's just this aura of just pissed off energy is just like radiating from her. But she kind of just, she does a couple of loops, making sure that everything's secured, that there is nobody here. And you know, she's kind of walking around with a clenched fist, ready to just pop someone in the face if there is someone in here. But after she's kind of done a couple of circuits of the shop, she's just going to sit down on the ground next to her bike and pull out that manila envelope and look through them, the photos.
You look through the photos, set them out in front of you in a grid. You recognize a few faces, Alice in particular. And you turn them over and you look at the names. And you come back and you realize one that you've missed before. One that looks like the spider. She was younger in this picture. It must be old. You look on the back, and surely enough, beneath her name is a date. About 20 years ago it was taken. Seems like your father, Beau's father, know a lot of things. They've known for a long time. Is there anything in particular you're looking for in these photographs?
Any sort of like notable locations? So if there's any sort of like buildings or landmarks in them that I might know, or any, if there's any sort of particular like dates on them or names, you know, like Alice's doesn't have Alice's name on it, right?
Correct. Kiana, what is the name that Jess reads on the back of this photograph?
I actually have to hold it. I have it down somewhere. Hold on. Oh yeah. So it would read an anglicized version of a Chinese name, Yulin Chang.
And as for the locations, you're fairly sure all of these exist within Deadfield, or did at one point. They all seem vaguely familiar. One that sticks out to you is the boardwalk. There are a number of people who have been there, and they are documented here in the photographs. Alice, you are aware that Jess is now close to the car, probably within earshot. And it's not quite that you can see, it's more that you can feel what is happening. You can feel that her energy has gone from this harsh, alert, to this quiet. And you can hear the turning of the paper. What do you do?
Find something interesting?
Yeah. You ever gonna tell us your name isn't Alice?
Well, it's my name. now, at least. I got rid of the old one a while ago.
Why?
Well, the people that used it are not exactly people I want to see again. You know? New beginnings, new name.
And then Jess is going to just address the whole sort of room. Hey, does anybody else have any secrets they want to tell me today? Because apparently that's the day for it. Anything else? Family meeting, let's be honest and open for once, yeah?
And as Jess calls out this challenge, the lights turn on. William has made the technology work. They crinkle and crackle, but they do turn on. Does anyone have any secrets? Jess, you are answered with only silence.
That's what I thought. Cool.
I think at this point, William would come walking back in the building going, "Guys, I fixed it! I got the power on it!" Is everything okay?
Jess has a face like thunder.
Ixis is kind of hiding behind Velvet, who now has an adorable little harness.
Well, power's on. I'll go see if I can hook up the car's battery to the building here and get it a little extra juice. I'll be in the other room if you guys need me.
I found an intercom.
He's gonna walk.
Thank you, William.
Gonna point William to the intercom before he goes. This might be useful.
Oh. Oh yeah. Intercom
more
system.
More useful than some other conversations.
He's kind of looking around. Having.
She stares daggers at Jess for a minute and then goes back to looking completely nonchalant, and she looks for a broom.
Ixis kind of walks over to Jess and whispers, "You already know my big secret."
I think despite herself, Jess sort of lets out a little chuckle. I wasn't talking to you, Ixis.
Oh, well, you asked if anybody... Okay, so I just...
We're good.
I just wanted to make sure.
We're
okay.
Good.
Okay. Because I don't have the stuff to bake another cake here,
I'm pissed off with May. It's fine.
Oh. Well, then why didn't you address her directly?
It's this thing. Called...
Oh, you were being passive-aggressive. Okay, yeah, I understand that. Okay. Okay, I'll allow you to keep... I know it's not me now, okay?
Ixis, I'd like you to make a humanity roll for me.
Okay.
Oh, blow that one off the table. Hold on. I have another dice.
Deploy the backup dice.
I got a 15.
Okay. The human part of Ixis feels guilt. You do have secrets. Secrets that they can't know. And you push down that feeling. It's for their own good. They can't know about the future and might not be true now anyway. That's what happens when things change. But then there's something more. As you listen to the silence, feel that passive-aggressive energy radiating off of Jess, the avoidance of May, the happiness of William as he tinkers, and the calm, consistent presence of Alice waiting to be freed from the radio. And you hear the sounds of the world outside. Something playing in the trees. The wind pushing under the shutter and in, bringing with it the smell of pine and damp evening. And you feel a longing stir in you. There's somewhere you have to go. You know it's not sensible to go now, it will be dawn soon. And everyone here is busy. But soon, there's somewhere you have to go. Eventually you will all sleep as day arrives. And Ixis, you will dream. You will dream of sunshine. You dream of your happy place, the waterfall in the park. You dream of meeting William there, sharing books. And as you carry those books with you to walk home, you walk up a leaf-littered path to a small, simple house. You hear the sound of a bike, laughter. Your brothers are here. And you realize you're in that place again. That place that doesn't belong to you, but is now part of you. You realize you're being called home. And that is where we will end today's session. Let's go around very quickly and say hello and goodbye to our cast and crew. Let's start with you, Lindy. How are you doing today? How was it to be back?
I'm doing good. A lot of stuff happened, getting back into the groove of things, and oh boy, awesome dreams. But yeah, you can find me online at LaughLoveLindy on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, where I'm a complete tabletop RPG addict.
Awesome. Susie, going back to our original order, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty dang good. It was so good to slip once more back into Jess's fashionable denim jacket and get out some of that teenage angst. But yeah, I'm Susanna Grace, a variety tabletop streamer. You can find me all over the internet at Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at Susanna Grace.
Kiana, how are you doing?
Man, I missed playing these lovely vampires and all of their drama and shenanigans. So excited to be back here and doing that. Yeah, I am Kenna. You guys can find me over on Twitter at KennaS. Best way to figure out what I'm doing, because I'm all over the internet doing role-playing things, whether that's streaming, writing, or just shouting into the void.
Speaking of shouting into the void, Emma, how are you?
I'm good. It was so nice to be back to being a cold, mean vampire. And also the relatively rare moments of having all of us together in The Lost Girls. I really enjoyed it. I am Emma. You can find me on Twitter at EmmaWrote. And most of the time, I am the communications director for WebDM. So I do all the WebDM things. So if you support them, you're supporting me. Thank you.
And Michael, how are you doing?
Hi, doing good. And agreed, it's great to be back with it, but it is a trip to hop back into William's brain and emotions at the time, because there's a lot surging through him, and I'm trying to hopefully convey all of them as he goes through the next stages here, and excited to see what we're going to do next. And you can find me ShinyPilot206 Twitch, Twitter, and look forward to doing more. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for listening today. You can find us over at New Vamsterdam on the Twitters, and at our Patreon, thepatreon.com/thelostgirls. Thank you so much for your support. We can't wait to get back to this, and we will see you next week.